When I was a child growing up, I didn't have much exposure to Christian churches. And my parents, they went to church when they were younger, but not that much. My dad was a Baptist, and my mom was a Roman Catholic. And when they got married, they considered themselves Baptists. However, they didn't really go to services that much. When I was about 5 years old, we started going down to a Methodist church that was just down the road from us. I was going to, Sunday school for probably about 2 years. And then after that, I started attending a First Baptist church, in fact, the one right down the road here, when I was a teenager. And I was going for a couple years, and I just stopped going. But I was still very interested in learning more about God and Jesus Christ. Now, I thought that I knew the Ten Commandments very well when I was growing up. But I really didn't know the Ten Commandments until God started to open up my mind to His truth. I found out that I really did not know them correctly. The second commandment was kind of unknown to me. I really didn't know much about it. What happened to the second commandment? What happened to the second commandment? That's the title of this message today. As we're going to see what happened to the second commandment and how some church organizations actually buried it with the rest of the commandments while expanding another. According to a USA Today poll, 60% of Americans cannot name 5 of the Ten Commandments. Only about 14% can accurately name all 10 commandments. I want to look here at the first of the commandments here. This word begins there with, God spoke all these words. Verse 2, I am the eternal your God. And then verse 3, as we know, is the first commandment there. You shall have no other gods before God. And then right there you can see that the second commandment, hopefully you can read that. If not, you can read along in your Bibles. But it's a pretty long one. And then, of course, there's the third commandment and the fourth commandment, which is another really large one there, the keeping the Sabbath, which we're doing today. And, of course, here's the other 6 commandments here that we know. However, the real question for this message is, does everybody enumerate the Ten Commandments the same way? Well, the answer is no. There are several different traditions exist regarding how the commands should be enumerated. The Jewish tradition considers verse 2, I am Adonai, your God, to be the first commandment. And then verses 3 and 4, no other gods before me and no carved images, as the second commandment. So they combine those in a different way, as you can see here, as the second. Now the Roman Catholics and the Lutheran tradition consider verse 3 and 4 to be the first commandment, and they separate verse 17 of Exodus 20 into 2 commandments. The Protestants and Reformed traditions consider verse 2 a prologue and separate verses 3 and 4 into the first and second commandment, retaining verse 17 as one commandment. And that's traditionally how we view it as well. The commandments have a specific structure. The first four deal with one's relationship to God. And the remaining commandments address one's relationship with humans. The two relationships are inseparable elements, fundamental to being a follower of God. Now the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Eternal, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. This is one of the longest commandments besides the Sabbath. Although people generally don't understand this or realize this, because in most lists, the vast majority is actually cut out of it. If people remember it at all, they only remember, "Thou shalt not make for thee any graven images." That's like the King James Version. But that alone is sufficient enough to cause controversy and disagreement. Some liberal theologians have even argued that this commandment originally only consisted of those of that nine-word phrase. Now, normally, when we see the Ten Commandments on a plaque, we see it kind of like this right here, with all the commandments as we know it. Of course, they're a little bit abbreviated. Here's another example of it as well. Have no other gods. Don't make any idol or any likeness. Remember the Sabbath. You know, they're all right there, and that's what we kind of know. The 10th commandment, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. So, this is what we normally see. However, this is how I once thought the commandments looked like. I don't know if you can see that one right there, but it was listed a little bit differently. I want to show this version here of it. As you can see, the second commandment has completely disappeared. It's not there. You don't see nothing about any images, carved images, graven images, nothing. It is completely gone. Also, the 10th commandment now is actually divided into two separate commands. Now, according to the Catholicism of the Catholic Church, and this is the book right here of that, the 10 commandments traditional formula says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to keep the Lord's day." The Sabbath day is gone here too. It's the Lord's day now. "Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill," instead of murder. "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not covet your neighbor's goods." Again, they took the 10th commandment of don't covet anything and separated it into two and buried the whole commandment of idols. Now, this division of the 10 commandments traditionally used by the Catholic and Lutheran churches was first derived by the Latin church father, Augustine of Hippo, who modified the original order in his book, Questions on Exodus. The catechism, which using very traditional arguments, posits that God gave permission for images that symbolize Christian salvation by leaving symbols such as the bronze serpent and the cherubim that was on the Ark of the Covenant. It states that by becoming incarnate, the Son of God introduced a new economy of images. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops explained that catechism, in their book entitled United States Catechism for Adults, published in 2006, regarding graven images, they expound that this command addresses idolatry in the ancient times, expressed itself in the worship of such things as the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, bulls, eagles, serpents, as well as the, you know, the kings and the emperors at the time. They explain that today, idolatry expresses itself in the worship of other things, and some list as power, money, materialism, and sports, which that is true, but they don't say anything about images or idols. Now, there is a book called Catholicism for Dummies, if you want to purchase that. This, and here it says, this command forbids idolatry. Now, talking about the second commandment, it forbids idolatry, the worship of false gods and goddesses, and prohibits polytheism, the belief in many gods, insisting instead on monotheism, the belief in one God. This commandment forbids making golden calves, building temples to Isis, and worshiping statues of Caesar, for example. None of these mention the idols or images in their churches. Martin Luther, he did have a question about this, which resulted in the Council of Trent, which was the 19th Emancipal Council of the Roman Catholic Church, held in three parts from 1545 to 1563. Prompted by the Reformation and the different questions, the Council of Trent responded empathetically to the issues at hand and enacted the formal Roman Catholic reply to the doctrinal challenges presented by the Protestants. The Catholic Church, during the Council of Trent, issued a clear statement concerning images and statues. According to the 25th session of this General Council, which was the last session, moreover, that the images of Christ, of the Virgin Mother of God, and other saints are to be had and retained, particularly in temples, and that due honor and veneration are to be given to them. Not that any divinity or virtue is believed to be in them, on account of which they are to be worshipped, or that anything is to be asked of them, or that trust is to be reposed in images, as was done in the older times by the Gentiles who placed their hope in idols. But because honor which is shown to them is referred to prototypes which those images represent, in such wise that by the images which we kiss and before which we uncover the head and prostrate ourselves, we adore Christ, and we venerate the saints whose similitude they bear, as by the decrees of the council, and especially of the Second Synod of Nicaea, has been defined against the opponents of images. This is what they believe here, that it's okay to bow down, kiss these, worship them, because they're honoring Christ. Now, the Second Council of Nicaea that they referred to declared that the icons deserve reverence and veneration, but not adoration, which is reserved for God alone. It was also decreed that every altar should contain a relic, a tradition that has been retained in both modern Catholic and Orthodox churches. Basically, they say that kneeling before these images and kissing the statues demonstrates their worship to Christ, as you can see them doing here. Now, according to Catholic.com, when it comes to the commandments, they say that Exodus chapter 20 in verse 4 is part of the first commandment that begins in verse 3 and stretches through part of verse 5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above or is in the earth below or is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down or serve them. Now verses 3 and 5 make it clear that this commandment is not simply condemning making statues, it's condemning making gods that you bow down to and serve. In a word, the first commandment forbids idolatry, even though they bury it, and the worship of anything or anyone other than God. Now, the Catholic Church condemns this as well, they say. They also state that we believe the Catholic Church alone has the authority to give God's people an authoritative list of the Ten Commandments, and that the Catechism of the Catholic Church does exactly that. What is a graven image? What is a graven image? This has been a subject of great deal of controversy between various Christian churches over the centuries. Of particular importance here is the fact that while the Protestants' version of the Ten Commandments includes this, the Catholics and the Lutherans does not. A prohibition against graven images, if read correctly, would cause a lot of problems for Catholics, as they have many images, many statues. The most obvious and simplest interpretation is also the most literal. The second commandment prohibits the creation of an image or anything at all, whether divine or mundane. And this interpretation is actually reinforced in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where Moses reiterates the Ten Commandments before the people are going to go into the Promised Land. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "Take heed, or take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Eternal spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Eternal, your God, has given to all peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." Now, it's very rare to find a Christian church that does not violate this commandment. And most either ignore the problem or they interpret it in a metaphorical manner that is contrary to the text. The most common means to get around the problem is to insert an "and" between the prohibition of making graven images and the prohibition against worshiping them. Thus, it was thought that making a graven image without bowing down and worshiping them is acceptable. Now, I want to go through a few good examples of the Bible of how people actually broke the second commandment. The first one really is the golden calf. The golden calf in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do know not what happened to him.'" Okay. God brought them out. Moses was leading the way, but you know, God's the one that brought them out. The people made a golden calf because it symbolized strength and the power of God. And then they said, once this was built, they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So basically they pointed to the golden calf and said, this is the God that brought you out. Wasn't some other God. This was God right here. This is an image of God, even though they never saw an image. They ended up dancing around it, as you can see, dancing around the calf. They bowed down to it, as you can see here in this picture. That's why I chose this one. And also they sacrificed to it. Because of their disobedience, 3,000 of them were killed that day. And the people were struck with a plague. And many other died, but we have no number of how many died from the plague. God does not tolerate idols. And he does not tolerate worshiping him through an idol. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 25. When you beget children and grandchildren have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Eternal, your God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess, and you will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. The Eternal will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Eternal will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. They didn't listen. And the Israelites actually broke this many times as well. I want to look at a second example. Micah's household shrine in Judges chapter 17. I want to read something from the United Church of God commentary on this. It says that Micah was an Ephraimite, and this man built what appears to have been a personal shrine to God in his house. The context leads us to believe that neither Micah nor his mother actually intended an open rebellion against God. Micah's mother invoked the name of God in blessing her son. May you be blessed by the Eternal, my son, in verse 2. And she had originally dedicated the silver to God, which is mentioned in verse 3. Also, the name Micah itself, it meant who is like the Eternal. As for Micah, notice the shrine that he had in his house. It says the Hebrew phrase that the New King James Version renders as shrine in verse 5 is Beth Elohim, while the original King James translates this as house of gods, lower G. It should perhaps be more properly rendered house of God, capital G. Thus, it may have been some kind of miniature representation of God's tabernacle. Because Micah also had, as mentioned in verse 5, he had an ephod that he wore, a garment that was worn during the worship, and probably in the imitation of the ephods that the tabernacle priest had. And then it mentioned in the same verse were the teraphim. The teraphim was translated basically to household idols, small figures, either representing gods or some devices associated with a god. In this case, perhaps even a miniature Ark of the Covenant. He was pleased to hire a Levite as his priest, at least showing that he had some sort of respect for God who had appointed the Levites to certain religious services. Now, Micah believed that God would bless him for these measures. In verse 13, While certainly not wholly in line with God's instructions, neither was this meant to be a wholesale apostasy. It was the worship of God united to idolatry, which is the sin of syncretism, blending pagan practices into their own religion, which the Almighty had expressly forbidden, but the Israelites often fell into. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, when the Eternal your God cuts off from before you the nations which you shall go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Eternal, your God, in that way. For every abomination to the Eternal, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Moreover, it was doing what seemed right rather than following God's explicit commands, a recipe for disaster, as this path leads us to death. And so many times in Judges, they did what they wanted to do. Though not intended to be an apostasy and a rebellion against God, it was an apostasy and it was a rebellion, nevertheless. Sincerely attempted to please God is no excuse for breaking his direct commands. We must all remember that in our own worship of God, that we don't do something like that in our own worship to God. Now, a third example is King Jehu. When Jehu became king of Israel, and this is in 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10, you don't have to turn there, but he demolished the sacred stone of the god Baal, and he tore down the temple of Baal. He essentially eliminated Baal worship throughout the nation of Israel, even killing off the prophets of Baal. Jehu obeyed the first commandment by not having any other gods. However, in 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 28 through 29, tells us that Jehu broke the second commandment. He broke the second commandment. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 28. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. Verse 29. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. That is, from the golden calves that were at Bethel and Dan. You see, Jeroboam, he created these golden calves, and he placed one in Bethel in the southern part and Dan in the north to worship God. But this was an inappropriate and way to do it, and it ultimately broke the second commandment of God, especially in God's eyes. When we worship God through something, we are limiting our understanding of God, and we are making an idol that does not represent the totality of God. Jehu should have eliminated the golden calves, but he did not. God tells us not to bow down to or worship idols. He tells us not to make idols or images to worship instead of him, or a representation of him. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, thus says the Eternal, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. Many have made idols out of celestial objects, and many still do. They read their horoscopes. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest in the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. The Christmas tree is one way to do this. That's Astarte, which was another name for Asherah, the consort of Baal, and one of the most deeply venerated fertility goddesses of ancient Babylon. Astarte or Asherah is also known as Ishtar, Artemis, Luna in Rome, and Selene. They're upright, like the palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. This is in Sicily. They have different parades throughout Sicily and Italy where they carry a statue or of a saint, or in this case, the Mary, the Virgin Mary, through the streets. It's a big ceremony that they have. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. The people disobeyed God then and also now. Aside from the many statues of various saints, as well as Mary, the Catholics also commonly use crucifixes that depict the body of Jesus, whereas Protestants typically use an empty cross. Of course, both Catholic and Protestant churches commonly have stained glass windows that depict various religious figures, including Jesus, and they are also arguably violations of this command, the second commandment. The New Testament is also very vocal about idolatry. You know, jot down and look later, but Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, and also Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 23 remind us of the dangers of idolatry. You see, when Paul was addressing those in Athens, he said in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Now, idols made of gold, silver, stone are obvious violations of the second commandment. But many times the New Testament warns about being seduced by the things of this world to the point where they become the most important thing in our lives, which is by definition idolatry. Besides the obvious violations of this command, people nowadays have set up many idols for themselves, which takes their focus off of God and Jesus. As you can see some of the examples there of sports, you know, the one caption there, all the people looking at their cell phones, walking around with their cell phones, the cell phones becoming a god to them. This can happen even to us if we place something that we feel is more important to the worship of the one true God. Are there any of these here that are more important to you than God? See, our focus needs to be on God, spending time in prayer with Him and studying His Word. We know the difference between the first two commandments. Where the first commandment tells us to worship the right God, the true and only God, the second commandment tells us to worship the right God the right way. the way that is explained plainly in his word. We do not bury the second commandment. We know the second commandment. As Christians, we must be careful of what our desires are and where we place our hearts. We are to stay focused on God with all our hearts, all of our minds, and seek his kingdom. Anything that takes us off the focus of God and Jesus Christ will become an idol. And there are many, many distractions out there, more distractions out there than any other age. As we draw closer to the time when Christ will return, we need to set our focus not on idols or images, but on God and on Jesus in heaven. One last scripture here, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, and this is the Berean Study Bible. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, set your focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess.